Nearly every day we hear tragic news to do with deaths on and in our waterways. This week alone, a child died in hospital 9 days after being pulled from a pond in the yard of a home in Sydney. And that was the 22nd death in New South Wales waterways since Christmas. That's more than double the road toll so far this year. And a toddler died in a Queensland hospital after being found unconscious in a backyard pool north of Brisbane. The New South Wales government's due to discuss the spike in drownings at its next cabinet meeting, which is early next month, I think. And I hate to think what the toll would be by then. But it is important we talk about it and try and work out a solution. In my opinion, sometimes it's down to parental supervision. Education is probably the biggest one, though. Not just how to swim, but how to swim in difficult and changing conditions. I just saw that Surf Life Saving Australia has put out research saying 70% of Australians who believe they can identify an ocean rip actually can't. You might have a theory on how we fix this problem. Let me know, 131873. To talk about water safety, I'm joined by swim instructor Andre Slade. He's the founder of an ocean swimming school at Bondi called Ocean Fit. Andre, thanks so much for your time.
Good morning.
Now, why do you think there's been such a spike in deaths this summer?
Look, we've had a great summer. The weather's been fantastic. I know anyone who works in, you know, swimming pool maintenance or swimming schools and things like that. Surfing schools love it when we have a really nice spring intro. Winter was nice weather. Spring was beautiful. And, you know, now we've hit summer and the temperatures are rising and everyone's wanting to go and cool off and get into the water. And I think, you know, with a spike of users on these waterways and coastal beaches, you know, we're going to get a spike in people meeting an unfortunate consequence of that.
And so you don't think there's anything, there hasn't been like a surge in big surf conditions or anything like that. It could just be down to the number of people who are out there.
Absolutely. And I mean, the conditions change every day and they change within a day. But, you know, for the most part, I can't think of any major spike over that period that would indicate. In fact, the beach drownings have been quite on par with past years. So as far as beach drownings go along our coast, they haven't seen the same spike as the overall drowning spikes in waterways. We've seen more of a spike in, you know, your open water, your rivers, your lakes, and then those backyard pools and ponds, which, you know, my heart bleeds for families that have to deal with, you know, young ones that have drowned in their backyards.
Oh, it's just horrific. And you mentioned so many victims there. There are a broad range of people. It isn't just children. There are adults. There are locals. There are tourists. It just seems to be people from all walks of life.
Absolutely. And there's this myth out there, and I get it a lot we do a little bit of an introduction in all my clinics, and I ask people, you know, why they've come to learn about the ocean. And quite often the foreign nationals or people who have immigrated to the country and they say, oh, you know, all the Australians can swim and, you know, everyone's great in the water here. And I go, oh, actually, you know, Australians aren't that much better at swimming than you know, some of our visitors. So there's a bit of a myth out there that Australians can swim. Over the years, you know, swimming lessons have dropped off in schools. We're kind of starting to see that come through now in the teenage and in the males in their 20s. And I guess if there is a bit of a theme through these drownings this holidays, it's been the males. And that's not surprising. I think year on year, we get about 89% of drownings are males. Hmm. And during this holiday period, it's been well over 89%. I can only think of a couple of females, and they were toddlers. So as far as males,
I guess guys are just a bit more gung-ho. They're jumping into, you know, that was the death up on the Gold Coast a couple of weeks ago, was jumping into a lagoon and jumping off a height. I guess that it's more likely to be guys doing that.
Absolutely. The other risk takers, you know, to start with, males are more likely to be using the water.
True.
You know, they get involved in more water activities. They seem to be using the water more often. They're going to take more risks and that's age group of about 25 to 29 sees a spike there. And, you know, there's a little bit of showing off. There's a lot of ignorance of the dangers. And some of the drownings we've had this year, I know one particular one, I was camping up at Crescent Head and a bit further up at Walleye, there was a male who went in to help rescue some kids and he ended up being the one that drowned. And that so often happens that the rescuer becomes the rescued. They're a little bit more agitated. They've got a little bit more adrenaline running through them, and Often the kids that are caught in the water don't actually know that they're in trouble, and they seem to just be more relaxed and they move with the currents and kind of find their way out, and the rescuer goes in and has a lot more trouble.
So what do you think the solution is, Andre, to this spike? What do we need to change?
Yeah, look, when I've seen all these drownings come through, you know, daily, I turn the radio on and there's another one, and every day I would think, you know, what can we do? There's so much. It's a bit like trying to work out how we reduce the road toll.
It's very similar.
There's a lot of areas you can work on, and one thing I really think we are doing very well is provision of safety and providing supervision, whether you're in, you know, public swimming pools, you've got the lifeguards there, you know, Surf Life Saving provides lifesavers, volunteer lifesavers and lifeguards all along the coast that provide these supervised areas of swimming, and people don't drown in those areas. And so that's, we're doing that really well. We're providing supervision, and the people that are following that rule of, you know, swim with supervision are having fun and enjoying mm-hmm. the beaches. It's getting people to understand the hidden dangers, and whether it's the ocean, and the ocean gets talked a lot about because you can often see the dangers at the ocean. You can see the big waves, the big swells.
Looks scary, yeah.
Yeah, and people hear more about, you know, strong currents. They start to hear about, you know, rip currents and want to kind of know more about that. But then there's the hidden dangers in some of our open waterways, and that could be, you know, currents moving. Brighton the Sands is a classic example in Sydney where, you know, it looks very safe. The water, there's no surf in the bay there, but there's some very strong currents that move along the beach there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people can't see them. They're ignorant of those dangers that exist, and so they just find themselves in situations that they never thought they were going to be in. And that happens in rivers. It can happen in lagoons. And in fact, if you look through the drownings that we've had, there's almost a case for every single open water location, you know, whether mm-hmm. it be a surf beach, a river, a backyard pool, a lagoon. There's been somewhere everywhere. Kids is another one. You know, kids are not making their own decisions, and the parents are making those decisions for them, whether they're supervising them, keeping the gate locked on the pools.
Mm. How old do you think a child can be before they swim in the backyard pool on their own? Roughly. It's a hard one to say, but I mean, if they're confident in the water at the age of three, I mean, you know, I still think that's too young, or even five is too young, or, you know, I think seven, they could still do a backflip and hit their head. It's really tough.
I'm not a parent at the moment, and I've talked about this recently with some clients, and I would almost not have a pool in my backyard because I would be so afraid of what could happen. And, mm. you know, I'd like to say 10, you know, and they've been swim training since they were, you know, for five. So, but the reality is when you've got kids around, you need to be keeping your eyes on them. Mm. Anyone under eight, you should be in hands reach, whether mm. you're at the pool, in your backyard, whether you're at a public swimming pool, the beach, the river.
And I was interested to see that statistic from Surf Life Saving, that 70% of Australians who think they can identify a rip actually can't. So how do we identify a rip, and what do you do when you find yourself in the middle of one?
Yeah, I love that stat because it really is true. And the thing with rips is that they're not a perfect model, and you can... you know, I've worked on rip education before when I work with Surf Life Saving, and you can draw the perfect rip current on a poster, and it can look like a mushroom, and it can have, you know, all these factors. You know, some of the classic ones will be that it'll be a calm area of the beach. There'll be less waves breaking there. It might look deeper and darker and greener. And then to the side of it, you'll see breaking waves and shallow areas of the beach. But the reality is when you visit a beach at any moment on any given day, that all those factors could not be present, mm. But there still could be rip currents present. So it actually takes quite a while to build up, you know, almost like a book of rip, what rips
samples.
Look like under all different mm. conditions and on different beaches. And
why they say swim between the flags, because the experts have spotted the spot, yeah.
And I've been working on this myself, and I love this idea of trying to simplify rip safety messages and water safety messages, because if you think about the way we communicate and messages and rules for the beach. You know, the list can be as long as your arm. It's, you know, don't swim at unpatrolled beaches. Don't drink alcohol. Don't swim here. Don't swim there. Do this. Don't do that. And with rip currents, it's a little bit the same. It's, you know, if you get caught in a rip, relax. And I'm like, well, if you think you're about to drown, I think relaxing's the last thing you are going to do. And that's the first step in the process. So if you can't make it past the first step, you're going to have trouble remembering that you need to stay calm, relax, move with the current, you know, put your hand up, all these types of things. And so I've been racking my brain, like, how do we teach people and give them a simple solution that they can think of when they're under distress and they're going to make irrational decisions.
And they're trying to swim into the water, I guess, is the natural reaction, yeah.
Yeah, and I just think we need to teach people more about the waves. So I think we need to kind of reverse engineer the rip message and say, don't look for rip currents, look for waves. Because if we find areas of the beach that have the most waves, then that's going to be the safest part of the beach to swim in. We call those areas of the beach sandbanks or sandbars. And what you're looking for is where the waves start breaking out to sea and they break all the way back to the beach consistently. And if they're doing that consistently and there's a pattern of waves breaking, leaving behind white water, then that's going to be the safest area of the beach. And you kind of look for that for about 5 minutes. You try and place yourself right in the middle of the sandbank where the water is predominantly moving straight back to the beach, and you're going to have, that's going to be the safest place for you to swim because the water's moving back to the beach, the water's shallow, you can stay, you know, standing up, you can stay in control. And I personally think that looking for the waves is going to be the safest way and the easiest way to communicate that safety message. And then, you know, the ultimate message is swim between the red and yellow flags. And in fact, the two messages go side by side because the lifesavers and lifeguards are going to put their flags in that exact same position. They're going to look for sandbanks and look for waves, and you'll be swimming there with the flags up. And if you do have to swim at unpatrolled beaches, and we all, you know, people love going camping. It's the Australian way of life. I do it a lot myself. And when you're on unpatrolled beaches, you need to make smart decisions and looking for the waves, and those kind of consistently white water breaking areas are going to serve you well.
I think that's a really interesting way of thinking about it, just reversing it. Don't look for the trouble, look for the safe spot.
Absolutely.
And Andre, if we want more information on water safety, can we visit your site?
Absolutely. It's oceanfit.com.au. We've got a lot of videos on there on, you know, all various different water safety techniques and awareness things that you can do to help build your knowledge of how the ocean works and then how to swim in it.
And yes, of course, the lessons as well down at Bondi Beach, a lot of fun. Well, Andre, thank you so much for your time and all your advice and expertise.
No problem. Enjoy the weekend.